Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Hello and welcome to Eberron Renewed, an actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I am your game master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
And I am Randy.
I'm Jeff.
We split the difference again.
We renegotiated Randy's contract, Jeff. He gets the "and" before his name now in the opening credits. So
that's fair. And featuring you need to say with Jeff.
You say with Jeff Forsey at the end. Welcome, everyone, gentlemen. What happened last time?
What's happening this time is I didn't hear our friend.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Trevor's not here, everyone. Sorry. Reynard got lost in the garden party because scheduling things. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it too hard from a narrative perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone, just be cool, okay? Scheduling with a nationally recognized drag queen is hard, so just have to deal with that. When we signed Trevor up to be on the show, he had far less ambition.
He was really regionally recognized as a drag queen.
Oh, the sentences you get to say.
His credentials didn't reach to Florida yet.
So yes, what happened in the previous episode?
Garden party. We had a garden party.
Indeed. Some familiar faces popped up. Sigil was there. Hutch showed up. Dorgoth and Hutch have a history, you all found out. And also found out that verifiably Hob is stronger than Hutch. So I think everyone had a good day.
But not stronger than Egric.
No one cares about Egric.
How dare you?
Okay, so let's pick things up. We are nearing the end of the garden party. You know, on the schedule, it said like 1 to 3 people will continue to linger afterwards. But like the proper festivities and most importantly, Eris's obligation ends at 3 o'clock. So, yeah, what plans do you all have for the rest of the day as the garden party is beginning to wrap up? The vendors are starting to pack up, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I'm helping Ulfin pack up then, since I was helping him at his booth.
Okay. Sana is also assisting, as is Ace.
Eris is probably looking for the first opportunity to stop being present.
It's probably about 15 minutes before the like labeled end time that people start filtering out. And so if Eris were to give all of a like, can we do that too? Look, Olive would like nod like, yeah, we can go.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And so then I'm assuming retreating to the cauldron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hob.
Oh, you know, painting faces.
Just love the idea of this giant Hob sitting on a little stool in front of a child with a paintbrush in his hand, painting their face.
Hob is standing near somebody he knows, probably eating something that was passed around and waiting to see. He's waiting until he notices one of his friends is gone, and then assuming he's going to be Eris, and then he's going to wander into the cauldron too eventually. But yeah, he's just meandering.
Okay, fair enough.
Because he's not uncomfortable, but these aren't people that he knows necessarily. I mean, I know there are a lot of people he knows. We met them all last
time. I, in fact, included that in the recap for you. Yeah.
But then they all went over to help Ace and Ulfin, and Hob doesn't hang out with Ace.
Just on principle now?
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, Hob, you can clock pretty easily and quickly. I mean, this was not like a massive thing. There were maybe like 35 people at this thing, maybe 40. Like, it's a small community with some outsiders who came to check it out. So it does not take you long to notice that your blue-haired, goggled, military-coated, gauntlet-wearing friend is gone.
Then, yeah, I think he finishes up whatever he was doing or eating or the chat he was having, and he'll probably hit the kid. Eris, did you go home?
Yeah.
Right. That's all. He knows that now, so he'll head that way eventually because he's here.
Okay. Milo obviously would have heard that as well. You hear over the communicator, are none of you going to the after party? Well, I'll catch you later then. So, from Radar.
Right. Okay. Be whatever.
Can do.
Wait. After party? Hold on.
No, you're not on the list, Milo. Anytime Trevor's not here and I try to give an interesting narrative reason, yes. Randy wants to engage with the narrative reason, which he needs to stop.
I feel like it's tradition now. The senility of an older man.
So, Eris, when you get back to the cauldron, anything in particular you're doing or just sitting in a chair quietly decompressing?
Yeah, I mean, decompressing. Yeah, she doesn't have any particular plans, and I think she's constructed all the things that are on her to-do list.
Okay. Cool.
Wait, did we make something to shrink people yet? I don't think we've successfully shrunk anyone yet.
No, we haven't gotten the shrinking technology.
Okay, then that's probably how she's decompressing. She's probably just going through her notes, thinking on how she will successfully shrink a kidnapped Vigo.
Gotcha. Cool. You want to give me a knowledge check of as you're studying and doing some initial research?
She doesn't really have much in the way of knowledge skills to use here. She's a practical scientist, Eric. A practical scientist. I got alchemy, I got mechanics, I got artifice, I got a tiny amount of knowledge adventuring.
I know when we were initially building the artifice skill, knowledge adventuring was like the related knowledge of artifice was kind of the idea. So if you wanted to do that, it would be an easier check, or I would let you do mechanics at a little bit harder difficulty just because it's a little less direct in terms of research. It would be more of you as opposed to researching it, it'd be you just thinking about it, which obviously might yield dubious results. So it's like when I heard our friend Brad's deck that is 20 feet in the air, he just kind of thought up the plans and didn't do any actual research on how to make something structurally sound. And now I'm a little nervous anytime I hang out up there.
You were in the play that goes wrong. What's the worst that happened?
He did have a licensed contractor build it. So it was signed off on it. So
fair enough.
Cause I also had that question years ago.
Okay. I will do adventuring in the spirit of what it's supposed to be. What's my difficulty? Okay.
Just two purple.
Four successes and one advantage.
So yeah, you have a pretty good sense of how you could approach utilizing artifice to create a device capable of shrinking and then rebiggining somebody.
That's what's in her notes.
Yeah.
Debiggining and rebiggining.
So in this particular instance, when you go to make the check to actually do the thing, you'll have a free upgrade on your pool because you did the research. You have an advantage
from something. I have one strain, so I'm gonna make it go away.
Cool. Okay, as you are kind of, you find the notes and are at annotating said notes, Hob said he was headed to the cauldron, so Hob enters.
I assume Harris would have said not to if she wasn't okay with it. So
yeah I'll tell you, I think because of what we're trying, because of the mean thing we have to do, what you probably get is, just for the delight of the viewers, the hilarious image is definitely Eris over a very small smoking cauldron, mixing in different things and looking very witchy, because we have to get, this has to be something that someone with no expertise can work. And so Eris is going to alchemy it and make it a potion that...
Nice.
Why can I never remember the name of the person we're trying to rescue?
Aaron.
It's because it's too close to close to Eris.
Every name that's in this show ever. Aaron, Barrick.
Yeah. That way Eric can just drink it and we don't have to worry about it possibly malfunctioning.
Yeah. Cool. Well, then give me a artificing check for this type of effect.
I don't know. Is there even a spell for shrinking? There's not, something?
So I'm finagling something. Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to say, looking at the transform spell underneath the primal class, which allows you to take a one silhouette creature and transform it into an animal. I feel like that is as close as we're going to get to reducing size. And assuming that Eris doesn't want Aaron to come out naked, wants her things to transform with her, correct?
How much harder is that?
It adds a purple.
Just saying, we'd have clothes for her on the other side. It's not like she's not going to burn those clothes.
Yeah, okay. This is part of the research that Eris is doing, figuring out,
Eris does not care if her clothes come through with her.
Okay.
She especially doesn't care if Vigo's clothes go through with her.
Yeah.
Probably a perk.
There will be a set of his mother's clothes waiting for him in the cell.
She's okay with that.
Okay, it's going to be 4 purple because normally it would be a hard check, but obviously you are trying to create a potion out of it. So I'm going to add 1 purple because you're trying to create a tangible thing that can do the spell. So at a later date. But I am going to flip a story point to turn 1 of those purples into a red.
Okay, well, aren't you just spicy?
He is not.
Alchemy. And 4.
But 1. I'm sorry. Upgrade. I was misunderstanding how the spell works. Because you're trying to transform the person into a silhouette 0 creature, quote unquote, that's 1 fewer. So it would be 1 red, 2 purple instead of 1 red, 3 purple.
Right. Okay.
You can transform into a silhouette 5 creature.
What is that in this?
It's like a hill giant, isn't it?
It's like a battleship. I mean,
I don't even know. Like, maybe the feral dragon is silhouette 5 in Terranoth. I don't know.
That's wild. Okay, and I will take 2 strain. And actually, no, I'm going to spend a story point to upgrade. And here we go. Wow, that didn't work at all.
0 success, 3 advantages.
So Aeris finishes the potion and says, here, Chip.
What? Here, what?
Drink this.
What? Hob does make note, like, this is the first time there's been a cauldron in the cauldron, and he was about to make a joke when she handed him this. What is it?
It'll make you smaller.
We rely on me being big.
I can undo it.
Are you sure? I suppose I should... You can undo it, like, now, or, like, we have to do some things and make, like, do we have to go fight somebody to get a thing for you to undo it?
No, you just make something else for your drink, and it re-embiggens you.
Okay, Hob, hand trembling, takes a drink, a quaff of this. You take a quaff, do you simply quaff? I don't know how it works.
I think anyway. You just quaff. You take a...
The drink gets
take a
drunk.
Dram, pull a dram, I don't know.
Hob drinks the drink.
I mean, if you want to do this for the bit, I'm totally for it. Failure on the check didn't mean that Aeris failed at making the potion in my brain. But if you want to have Hobby a test subject and something happened.
Oh, I assume that she made an ineffective potion. She has 3 advantage, so it's not going to, like, poison him.
Yeah.
But
what happens,
Eric?
Jeff, roll D100 in RPG sessions.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. How did I end with -1 strain?
There we go. I got a 58.
58.
Oh, no.
Hob turns into an ostrich.
How ostrich? Does Hob's brain become an ostrich, or is Hob an ostrich-shaped Hob?
It's actually an additional thing to retain your intellect and willpower. So, like, yeah, Hob's an ostrich in mind and body.
Oh, this is so bad. So
and
very
well,
bad.
Well, obviously, this ostrich is panicked and immediately bites Aeris.
So does Milo walk in and see an ostrich?
Yes, sure. 100%. Yeah.
Egrich! What is...
Nothing.
You're still the ostrich, Jeff, so what does the ostrich do? The hobstrich.
No, we shan't.
We shave, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, Eric calls Egrich over to hold the ostrich still so that she can undo... Yeah.
The ostrich evades the robot as it's an ostrich. The ostrich attempts to not be grabbed.
Olive is also assisting with, like, the arms that she was working on, trying to help wrangle the ostrich.
Should I try to, like, put a net on it?
Close the door.
All right. Where's Hob?
He's right here.
I don't even know. I don't even know. Just run around going...
Well, this one does.
Yeah, this one. It's a Wooloo ostrich.
Right.
From the Talenta Plains.
Very sad you didn't roll a 25 because you would have turned into a blue whale.
That would have been catastrophic.
That's my blue whale. Anyway, I'm an
ostrich. Good. We will attempt to apprehend the ostrich and undo, like, the effect.
I mean, so what's interesting, it's a concentration
ostrich
thing.
Ostrich is going for a window. He's going for a window.
So I think at some point, yeah, like, it would naturally, like, Hob would turn back into an ostrich, or turn back from an ostrich. Aeris does not need to actively do anything to make it happen. But I like to think that it's like a slow transformation, like Hob's head turns back first, but with an ostrich body.
You're doing the Emperor's New Groove thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yes, eventually your mind returns and you are, your loincloth is gone. You are completely
naked. Yep.
I do not wear a loincloth.
Sorry. Yes, you are correct. Yep. That's my bad.
I cannot remember the name for it. It's
more covering. Like a skirt.
Yeah. are gone and on the floor.
It's not an Obi. That's something else. Anyway.
So, yeah.
All right. Do I have any idea what has happened to me?
Yeah, you were aware the whole time. Your mind became that of an ostrich.
Okay. I suppose I look at Eris and I say, not the manner of smaller I was expecting.
Now, that was interesting, and I don't know why it happened. Here's your clothes. I was gonna use Reynard, but he went to the after party.
Got it.
Sorry.
It's fine. It is fine. No harm has been done.
Are you going to try again?
Well, yeah, you gotta. Alchemy's not an exact science.
Yeah.
It's true.
But hey, I know how to turn someone into an ostrich now.
Hob does not laugh, because Hob does not think she does. Hob doesn't think she could recreate that if she tried.
There's definitely, like, the since apparently this was done through research, there's definitely a really sketchy-looking spell book open on on the workstation that's made of, like, it's real spooky-looking, it's made of some unknown material, there's weird stains on the pages, some of the pages are partially scorched. Yeah, it's obviously a type of making that is not Eris's usual game. So she bends back over that to try and figure out how she got the proportions wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you basically clocked that. Yeah, there was some component of obviously you're trying to modify it to not turn someone into an animal, but rather like the size of a mouse.
You're supposed to whip the eye of Newt, not not mash it up with a pestle.
I drink what?
Just eye of Newt. That's what you just, it was just some, yep. There was just some new eyes in it.
Jeff, I've made note of it, but if you want to make note of it also, still like back of mind, like the idea of eating insects seems appealing still. Like you don't know where it came from, but you know.
Fine.
I put some tarragon in for taste.
I hate it here.
I could have made it snakes.
I'm pretty sure those are herbivores, but okay.
Both of those things are on menus.
According to PBS.org and their nature blog, you are incorrect. They are omnivores who enjoy eating insects, snakes, lizards, and rodents.
I mean, we could probably find a restaurant with all of those things in Sharn.
That's true. So,
fried crickets.
Eris, with your lessons learned, like I said, I was gonna let you still successfully make the potion even with a failure. So you are able to figure it out. The only cost is Hob's brain chemistry a little bit. So, but...
All right. After a while, she offers a potion to Milo. I don't think Hob will do it again. Wait, where's Ace?
Well, I mean, you know what? You
can get Ace.
Yeah.
Actually, no, this is really good because you're the same size and as them, and so we'll know whether you get small enough.
Yes.
Hob is excited to see a tiny ostrich.
I have full confidence that you have discovered your error, so...
It's definitely different.
Well, yes. I guess we shall see... So Milo quaffs the potion.
You all see a pile of clothing fall to the ground with like Milo's clothes crumpled to the ground.
Oh, man, Milo, you turned him into clothes.
Don't step on him.
You rapidly are covered in cloth and darkness as you're struggling against the weight of your clothing being too heavy to move off of you and you get tangled up in the cloth.
Yep. So you guys see a bunch of wiggling.
You see a little mound of the clothes like struggling against the weight of the fabric.
Eris sifts through the clothes so that Milo is not suffocated under the gigantic clothing.
You see a tiny 2-inch tall naked Milo.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome. There's all sorts of things you could do with that.
And Milo, you kind of have the sense that you are actively aware that you are small and you are keeping that state. And so you get a sense of like when you want this to stop, you're in control of getting big again. It's concentration. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, do we need to sneak in anywhere?
I don't think so right now. Unless you just want to.
Let's not press our luck.
All right. Fine. So Milo slowly transforms back to his size and puts his clothes on if they fell off, or did they stay on?
No, they fell off.
They fell off. Yeah. Milo grows to Hob size as he realizes.
No.
Let us go have a test of strength.
The oddest proportions. So, yeah, Milo, are back to normal. You
spins
had
back
advantages.
Over her cauldron and makes the necessary number of doses of this. I don't know. You let me succeed, so I feel like I've...
Three advantages. You were able to make three doses of it, let's say.
Okay. Then I make... Oh, that's plenty. Yeah. Okay.
If I don't have to have a separate potion for re-embiggening, then three is plenty.
Yeah.
Got an extra.
So you have those. You have the teleportation pucks. And
those have been delivered.
Right. So yeah, basically.
Yeah, Reynard was really weird about that.
House Fjarlin is awaiting just the go-ahead to go get Viggo. Obviously, Tarvel was still working on getting Eris fully warmed up to the idea, but
right,
he was confident he had made progress.
We should clear it with Tarvel before we activate the rest of the plan, right?
Yes, that would definitely be the way to go.
Okay, well, all my parts are done, so who's going to get Tarvel to win over Eren?
Well, I suppose I could go check and see how it's going.
She got one of those weird Milty coins?
Do you know what? He rummages around in his robes. Yes, certainly. He left you
with one. Yep. Pulls out a handful of change from like international coinage. What is this?
That's a button.
Milo's just got a lot of friends with weird coin powers. They keep giving them to him. Yeah. You all... So do you just try to use the coin to contact Tarvel, Milo?
Yeah. That's...
You remember how it works. 25 words one way, 25 words back. So
yes. Where are we with Eren? We are ready.
That was highly efficient. Well done.
She is as on board as she's going to get. Won't be a problem.
Perfect. So should we tell House Fjarlin to go? Do we need to do anything else? We just wait around for them to deliver Viggo with a bag over his head?
I don't... See, we didn't talk about that. We didn't... Oh, there's so much...
We didn't talk about what?
Are they going to deliver Viggo with a bag over his head? Where do we...
I thought so.
Well, we did I'm work still in contact did with Tar, right? Because I still have more words.
I thought we didn't work that out. That's, like, genuinely...
It's one and done, Randy.
Okay.
Like, you can send up to 25, you can get up to 25, and then you're done.
But it's...
Yeah, your hand's just wet now.
Yeah. Yep. No, the conversation with Alistair, like, basically, I think it's... They're not awaiting for you just say... Do it. It's like, we'll wait for you to tell us the plan, basically. They know what you want them to do. But okay. Yeah, they're going to want to establish a drop-off point. Like, there's some admin.
We have to go talk to them again.
Yeah.
Okay. Where should we have them drop him off? Bring him on down to the cogs?
I mean, that...
Then we don't have to worry about us transporting him down.
Right. And, like, I know, like, covert's their whole thing. So, like, they know what they're doing as far as getting them down there.
I mean...
Yeah, so probably...
I will say just your collective knowledge of where you're ultimately going to need Viggo to go. The Pier Lads are based on docks, they are smugglers. And Fjarlin also is probably adept at smuggling stuff into the city. So they probably could deliver Viggo to the docks in some manner that would be disguised if Tarvel had a heads up that that's what was happening.
That seems better.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping I had more words.
Well, you don't.
But we can have to
go.
Like, there are other ways of contacting.
Yeah. Name one.
These kids with their melty coins, they don't want to talk face-to-face anymore.
All right, so what order do we need to do these things in? I guess we need to establish where Tarvel can receive this package and then go tell Alistair, time to go,
that's where
and
to do it.
Mm-hmm. Here's where to do it. Okay.
Yeah. Unless we just have him delivered to the back of Tarvel's office, possibly.
Well, Tarvel's office is at the docks that the Pier Lads operate. So the plan is as close as you can get to.
But we should get Tarvel's clearance before we tell them to do that.
Yes.
So
true.
And we'd have to sneak there, obviously. Well, maybe not.
We're not concerned. Are we concerned about Tarvel getting cold feet at the moment of doing this? Like, we're pretty sure that he'd rather have Eren out than Viggo out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
All right. Like, I know Viggo sucks, but he's still his kid. I don't know. I just...
Slightly more worried about her.
Yeah, no, sure.
But I can't do anything about that.
No. We just gotta go for it.
Yeah. All right. So we should go talk to Tarvel, set up a drop point, and then go talk to Alistair. It'd be less weird if Reynard doesn't come this time.
Most things are less weird when Reynard... Yeah, let's assume that Reynard is off by himself doing something extremely competent accidentally again.
Yes. He probably does okay at this after party.
Okay, so you all are heading to the Pier Lads?
Plot to kill him by that apothecary.
It's true.
Yeah, so off to the Pier Lads, off to the docks.
Yep.
Okay, cool. As you all are traveling there in Tasha, I'm guessing, somebody can give me a perception check. with a one, or actually,
I'm 4 greens on perception.
I'm 2 yellow and a green, so you've got more pips.
And I'm a yellow and 2 greens, so.
So 2 yellows and a green is the highest?
It's the most chance for a triumph, but it's not the most chance for success, right? 4 greens would be above that.
Yeah. Opposed checks are wild. Okay, the difficulty of the perception check is 4 reds and a purple.
Well, can I opt not to roll this?
Yeah, I mean, if you like, I'm offering you all the opportunity to notice something, but if you would rather not, that's totally fine.
Hang on, there's something unbelievably difficult to potentially notice while we're trapped.
You can combine. We can do a combined check. So the 4 green plus the 2 yellow, so it'd be 2 yellow, 2 green, which is. It's still an extremely difficult tech, but...
Oh, I was just thinking of the odds of a despair here.
Yeah. Jeff, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, this. I just want to make sure I have the circumstances right. This is while we are traveling across town, or down, to the Cogs, but it's just the 3 of us in Tasha.
You all aren't headed to the Cogs, you're headed to the Pier Lads. The Pier Lads, right. Delvers are in the Cogs, yeah.
So, but it's just the 3 of us. It's and there's something that we may notice, but it's extremely difficult to notice.
And Milo would definitely be looking around because he already knows somebody had followed him once.
That's true. Milo's a little paranoid.
Yeah,
and I don't think he told you all about.
Yeah, I did. I thought I did.
Okay.
Is there a conclusion to that, Jeff?
I don't know. If we get another despair, this campaign is going to last 6 more years.
Yeah. We get a
4
boost.
Reds and a purple. Is that what he said?
4 reds and a purple, and our pool would be 2 yellow and 2 green.
And a boost because Milo's alert, right?
I will give you a boost because Milo's paranoid.
And a boost.
I mean,
it's 5 dice.
And strictly speaking, 2 more boosts because of Eris's goggles, because that's to all cunning checks.
Okay, so here's I feel like we'll probably end up on the right side of perceiving, but we're probably going to catch a despair with 4.
That's
reds.
My thing. Yeah, it's like that's
Do we want to start this session off by letting Eric completely derail it?
I'm not saying
that's what'll happen
because we're we would be looking around. So do we see something or not?
All right.
And you can blame me if it goes south.
Okay.
Because you're going to anyway.
Set up the pool.
We're combining Hob and Eris's skills. Right.
So we should have a total of 2 yellow, 2 green, 3 blue against that pool, I think is what we end up with.
Okay. I've got that. Shall we flip a story point?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. I have 3 yellow, a green, 3 blue, 4 red, and a purple. Are we ready?
Here we go. Here comes a disaster. Here we go.
Thank you for flipping that point.
Yeah.
Hey.
Wow. That is 5 remarkably.
5 success, 2 threat. Oh my goodness.
That's shockingly unremarkable considering the number of potential triumphs and despairs that were on that.
This was legit. Hob just looked over and was like, oh, hey, check that out. That's weird. Eris, what is that?
Well, it's bad because I suspect 2 threat.
You all, as you all are looking around, you clock as it's kind of. Up above you and to the right, as you're looking around, this figure just so happens to pass between you all and some of the buildings and architecture of Sharn, to where you see the form of the stuff behind them warp slightly to indicate that they are doing some kind of like active camo, like looking invisible, but in the Predator style way, to where movement can give it away with the surroundings.
Shimmering.
And I'm going to see.
So that was it a large thing that was cloaked or a human-sized thing?
It looks like a skiff.
Oh, a skiff. Okay. I may have missed that. If you said that, sorry.
I'm going to have them do a check to see if they notice, you notice.
Is it 4 reds for them to notice if we notice?
No, it is not. I'm going to do it against your all's combined perception just to see if, unless your stealth is better. But I think Reynard would need to be here for your stealth to be impactful.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
My stealth is very pedestrian.
2 success, 3 advantage. So they do notice that you notice.
Because Hob goes, hey!
Milo, because it was a group check and everyone was contributing in some capacity, the 2 threat I'm going to throw at Milo's paranoia. Milo, take 2 points of strain.
Fine.
And with the 3 advantage... I'm going to give one of them a boost on their initiative check.
Okay.
Which means I need initiative. Vigilance or cool from you all because you passed the perception check, so you were aware that something was coming. So I'll let you go either way. And yeah.
Oh, I didn't click initiative. Sorry. Oh, I did. Okay. Never mind.
I have it set to start initiative, so all of your rolls should count as the initiative roll. So don't roll anything unless you mean for it to be
cool
initiative. Hey.
Uncool, Eric. Triumph. Oof. Rolling. So-and-so.
Vigilance is willpower, right?
Yes.
Is cool cunning? Am I remembering that right?
Presence.
Presence.
Presence. Thank you. Oh, that's better.
I mean, cunning.
Cunning.
Okay, so collectively between all of them, there were two triumphs rolled on their initiative checks, which in the context of initiative, I'm just going to have them be able to take some maneuvers at the start of initiative. So the skiff, as they notice, you all see it bank dramatically and try to like get alongside Tasha. And then for the second maneuver, out of the kind of dome of invisibility, you see a very, it's weird to call a Warforged jacked, but like they are like augmented to like, like they've got like the piston things on the sides of their arms to like reinforce their punching ability and stuff. It's not
gives the ram. Their punches the power of kicks.
Yes, exactly. They leap from their skiff coming out of the dome of invisibility and land amongst you all. In Tasha, it's kind of as the momentum is like banking, they leap and have that additional momentum to land amongst you all. And yeah, it's initiative time and we have an NPC slot. So this Warforged is going to go ahead and go and cool. Is going to punch.
Sorry, Milo.
No, he's got too much pride for that. Hob.
Yes.
Melee defense.
Three.
Nice.
Yeah, I got beefy. I got a beefy tanky guy at some point when I was doing some XP buying, spending.
Okie dokie. And just making sure that I have everything. Okay, so this is going to be 4 yellow, 1 green, 1 blue against 2 purple and 3 black.
Okay. Jeez.
Crap. That counted as an initiative roll, so I'll need to get rid of them. Stop initiative. 4 success, 4 advantage, and a triumph.
Bollocks.
So.
Goodbye.
With the triumph, they are going to crit.
It's a good thing I'm diligent about healing my critical injuries, Aerith.
That's good. It's good. It's good advice. It's a
good thing I'm a real healthy boy who takes care of my things.
Aerith actually still has one.
I know.
Just one.
Hey, you did subtract 10.
I did not. I will do that. I clicked the button.
We all
didn't
believe
do anything.
You. Would you like for me to click the buttons?
Oh, no, I got it. Well, I tried to hit the roll crit button and it didn't work. So 45 minus 10, 35.
Very good.
Stunned. The target is staggered until the end of their next turn, so you cannot take an action until the end of your next turn.
Well, okay.
That's not good. I don't like that.
Thankfully, I can move as much as I need to around the skiff.
Well, funny you say that. They're going to use 2 advantage to use the knockdown ability of their punch, so Hob is prone.
Okay.
And with the other 2, they will pass 2 boost. So, yeah, Hob, this thing just leaps, and as the fist comes closer to you, those pistons activate and just square in the sternum, and you feel something crack a little bit as, like, this metallic fist makes contact with your chest, and all of the air in your lungs just, like, rushes out of your throat, and you fall back, like, stumble backwards from just the sheer force into Tasha.
Okay, for how much damage?
Thank you. It's an important part of all of this. 4 success plus the base 12 damage.
Okay. The soak but, still soaks. So
yeah, there's no pierce or breach or anything. Okay. So, and as the Warforged lands, kind of looks at Hob like falling back on the ground. Is like, I expected better. And
frankly, so did I.
Next up is going to be a figure that is within the skiff. Going to target Aerith. Did Aerith bring Egric?
We said it was just the 3 of us.
Okay. This is going to be a hard divine check. This is a magic check, so no defenses. Okay. Going to roll, unless you want to flip a story. The pool is 3 yellow, 1 green, 3 purple. Would you like to flip a story point to upgrade the difficulty? It is a magic check, so it would be...
Yes, I do. And I will take that story point back immediately as a human.
Okay, dokie. Roll. 2 success, Box. 2 threat. So they need to suffer to strain.
But it's magic, so doesn't it double?
No, I was saying just for casting the spell, it's two strain. That's not necessarily the two threat. What's this person's name? Okay, Aeris, with the two success, it is 10 damage. And you feel... Yeah.
Hang on. I've got this.
Nope.
It's a magic check.
Okay. Never mind. I have to have cast Bodyguard still works on magic. I had to have cast it first, though.
Gotcha. So, Aeris, it's almost like you feel the blood in your veins, like, cool. Like, almost like ice crystals form and, like, start tearing, like, inside. And, yeah, it hurts extremely bad.
Sorry, there it is. That person is going to take 4 wounds. I'm going to take some strain and inflict 4 wounds on them. If an ally in short range is hurt, I can suffer 3 strain to inflict 4 wounds. So
okay.
I can't do that every time, but I'm going to do it this time because I'm on the ground. I can't do anything for a turn.
And that's even for ranged attacks?
It says if an ally in short range is hurt. Let me look up the... Sometimes I shorten them to put them on my character sheet. So let me look up the full thing. 1 second. Because it may say melee in the whole description. It's threatened is the one I'm looking at. If you want to look, gotcha. If you have the document open, I got to pull it.
What tier is it?
It is, here it is. It's tier 2. The adversary also has to be in short range. I apologize. Gotcha. So there it is. Okay.
That makes sense.
It too much. Okay. Well, then I take it all back. Never mind. Delete everything that makes me sound dumb from any of the episodes ever, please.
Oh, you want me to give you the Eric treatment?
Do you have time?
I'll cost you. Okay. So.
To get your strain back.
Good call. Thank you. No, that's my punishment for making a bad move. I've got to keep this straight. Learn my lesson.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and say, as the magic, it's like this sickly greenish, like necrotic-esque energy blasts out of the cloaking of the skiff. The cloaking dissipates. And you see a fairly modified skiff as well. This is like a custom job kind of thing. And you... see on the other skiff, all of you see three other figures, one of whom clearly has just cast this spell, which is a tall, very gaunt, pale-skinned elf man with like long black hair kind of blowing in the wind. And then you also see a feminine-looking figure, but their face is covered by a purplish mask and a person driving the skiff that is also a young looking woman who has some like cybernetic attachments and things like that, like some metal like on her jaw, like neckline, like going down below her clothes, and then one of her arms is also fully metallic. So, and there are two, they look like almost like drones near her that are kind of hovering and flying along with the skiff. So that's what you see, and obviously the Warforged in the middle of you on the skiff. It is a PC slot.
Milo, unless you have a really big swing, I'll go. I can't hear you, Milo.
I was thinking about maybe trying to do a blast.
If you want to.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Milo's wand flashes in his hand and he flicks it and this flat black disc flies out straight for the other caster who attacked Aeris.
Okay. This is medium range, so for the attack spell, that would be with, but you get blast for free because of your wand, so that would be 2 purple starting out.
All right.
Anything else that you want to do to the spell? Fire, ice, deadly, giving it a crit rating, anything like that?
What's that going to do to the difficulty?
Any of those would increase it by 1.
All right, let's put fire to it.
Okay.
All right.
2 success, 1 threat, 2 triumphs.
Amazing.
Explode their boat, Milo.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We don't want to learn anything about these weirdos.
Except that cool person driving.
I knew she was going to say that as soon as you started describing her.
Well,
you had to deal with that.
So how much damage do you deal to the caster, Milo?
That's, 3 plus? So that's, it's been so long since we fought. I don't remember. 5? That doesn't sound right.
You add your intellect as well.
Okay, so that's 9.
9 damage, okay.
Does fire mean he can trigger burn?
If you have the advantage to do so, but you could use a triumph. But yeah. So you would need to use a triumph to trigger blast if you want to do that.
Yes, I guess that sounds reasonable.
Okay.
What is the blast rating on spells?
It is blast one. So everyone else on the boat takes 3 damage thanks to blast.
No.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Wait, actually, does soak come into that?
I think so. Because it's...
Does the fact that I'm laying on the ground help me avoid the blast?
You're not engaged. You're
the
not...
other skiff. Mm. The other skiff, not our skiff.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why I thought that our skiff got the blast damage. I don't know why I thought Milo would do that to us. Well, actually, that's not true. I know why I thought Milo would do that to us. Milo's paranoia just took extra strain.
Summon that mind flayer over there.
Yeah, can you shoot one of those out of your head?
Drop an Eldritch Horror on that ship.
That's funny.
Slowly starving mind flayer somewhere out there in the city.
I mean, he might not be starving.
It's true.
The driver, the 2 drones, and the masked person all took 3 blast damage. So, boom. Yeah, what does it look like, Milo? Is it just a concussive, a fiery explosion on the skiff?
Yeah, it just explodes just in fire.
Nice. Okay, so we have an NPC slot then. So the... go ahead.
Wait.
Don't tell me what to do.
Please wait.
Never ask me what to do.
I'm gonna spend a story point to be a conduit and perform another magic action.
Okay.
And this time, Milo flicks his wand, and this little BB zips out towards the driver of the skiff and forms into a black fist to try to punch them off the skiff.
Okay. So what's the...
It's a ghostly fist.
Okay. It shows... In Genesis terms, what's the spell that you're casting?
It's Open Palm of Xenthix. It shows 2 purple.
That is something somebody else created using the Genesis rules, but I need to know what spell you're like, is it the attack spell? Is it
Yes, it's the attack spell.
With what modifiers to allow you to move the person? Does it say that on your card?
Yeah, I could spend advantage to move the target 1 range band in any direction.
Okay, so it is the manipulative condition added. Okay.
Yes.
So at medium range, that's going to be what did you say the difficulty was?
2 purple.
Okay. That's if they're at short range, because they're at medium range, it's 3 purple.
Right.
And I'm going to flip a story point to make it, this is a combat check. Hold on. I didn't do it with the last person. The driver that you're trying to punch has adversary 3. So it's 3 red instead of 3 purple.
Egads.
Eric said they're a man down. They haven't been challenged enough lately.
We still have a triumph on the table, do we not?
Yes, one of your triumphs has not been accounted for.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. What would you like to do with it?
Do I need to do it now before I roll?
Preferably. You could give yourself an upgrade if you just want to keep it simple. You could have critted on the caster that you hit with that spell with the triumph.
That sounds reasonable. I like the crit idea.
Okay. Go and roll D100 then in... All right, have you already built your dice pool?
Yeah, I've already got my pool.
I'll roll it.
I'm fine with that.
78.
Go ahead and add 40 to that.
I'm sorry, Randy. You're going to have to get rid of the pool that you've built. Overpowered. The target leaves themselves open and the attacker may immediately attempt another attack against them as an incidental using the exact same pool as the original attack. So you're doing the blast spell again. So clear out your current pool.
Okay.
I am going to remember this time on this additional attack. I know it says the exact same pool. The spellcaster has adversary 1. So the difficulty should have been 1 red, 2 purple instead of just 3 purple. So with this second attack that you're getting for free, please do 1 red, 2 purple.
1 red, 2 purple. Okay.
Is the difficulty. So this is the blast disc part 2. Okay. So that is another 8 damage to the spellcaster.
Yes.
But you do not have enough to trigger the blast because you only got 1 advantage. But you can pass a boost die to your next check.
Okay, let's do that.
And sorry, gang, I neglected to address the 2 threat from the spellcaster's check. You just want me to give them 4 additional strain?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Milo, you had 1 threat on your 2 triumph check, so take 2 additional points of strain.
Gosh.
Now you can cast your other spell, Mr. Conduit.
And it was what now? 2 reds and a or 1 red and 2 purple?
3 red.
You remembered.
I did. Unbelievable.
Yes.
My guy.
2 success, 1 advantage.
Awesome.
So,
all right. So this little BB turns into this black shadowy fist and just clocks this driver square in the head.
9 damage as the base.
And let's move him 1 range band off the skiff.
Move her 1 range band
off one the skiff. 1 range band off the skiff.
Sure thing.
Philip doesn't like that, I don't think. He wanted that person.
I want to know who this person is.
Okay, so yeah, the fist hits this person. Their hands go flying off of the controls, and they go flying backwards over the edge of the skiff. They're going to take the next initiative slot immediately after to use a maneuver to command their drones. So one of the drones swoops down, and she catches it. Obviously not in a good place to actively attack you all. So, Miley, your thing still, did work because one of the drones had to go catch her. The other drone is going to turn its attention towards Milo, obviously, because Milo has just made himself the biggest target on the boat by casting 3 spells in 1 turn.
Yeah, but you feel kind of silly for hitting me.
So it is going to use. So this one just kind of turns and you see this little small tube come out of the top, and you hear as this small metallic cone comes flying out, and you can see kind of glowing runes all around it as it comes flying at Milo at a very fast speed. So
I dodge.
Good luck. Its maneuver to aim. Range defense, Milo?
Range 1.
Okay. And why not? I'll flip a story point to upgrade one of the dice in the pool. So 2 yellow, 1 green, 1 blue, 2 purple, 1 black is the check. Would you all like to flip a story point to upgrade the difficulty?
Randy?
I mean, I probably would personally.
Go for it.
Okay. Turn one of those purples into a red. Cool. 3 success, 3 advantage.
Wow, those negative dice did no work.
Nope. There's a lot to read on here.
That's a lot of info on that little card.
Okay, Milo, you take 10 damage as this thing hits you square in the chest. And then Eris, Hob, and our friend here on the boat, everyone else but Milo, take Soak into account. But the cone hits Milo and then explodes in a massive fiery ball. And you all take 10 damage. Soak. Take Soak into account. I don't know why you're getting all huffy, Jeff.
On behalf of my friends, I get huffy. If they die, I'm dead. I'm on the ground.
Well, yeah, I have a little bit of Soak from taking all those wounds.
And then Hob, potentially concerning to yourself as you're laying on the ground and you're looking at this Warforged figure standing above you, they also seem to be very nonplussed by the explosion.
Interesting.
So, like I said, the other drone is focused on keeping its controller alive, so it's not going to act this turn, and she is going to use her action to crawl back into the skiff. So her turn is wasted trying to undo what Milo did to her. So the last NPC slot is the masked figure. They are going to pull out a small hand crossbow and aim it as Milo as well.
They're anti-us. It's the anti-us. They are a dark mirror.
You think the big guy's name is Bo?
No, his name is Shaw.
Ah, very quick, very clever, but I can't abide it.
Milo, you have 1 range defense.
The necromancer's named Otis.
Yes.
The rogue's name really is Reynard.
But they go by Drainier. They will aim. Okie dokie.
How do we befriend them, though?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm working on. I'm working on it.
2 success, 2 advantage on Milo.
Well, we have to get to the end of the Fast and the Furious movie before they become our allies.
Right.
So, Milo, you take 5 damage.
You up?
Okay. So, yeah, I'm up.
Pierce, 5. So you take all 5.
Are you up?
Yeah, but barely. I'm going to, activate my cloak. Do we still have a story point?
You got one. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, but my strain is getting up there, too. But if I want to...
I don't know.
Yeah, I figure if I get hit again, I mean, I'm going to go down anyway, even if I do save a couple of points. So how much? 5?
Yep.
So 4. No, let's take it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I'm barely up.
And it has a crit rating of 2, so we're going to go and crit on Milo. And it is
just too squishy.
And their hand crossbow has vicious 3. So cool. 69. Internet number. Blah, blah, blah. Scattered senses. Until the critical injury is healed, Milo, you remove all boosts from your skill checks.
Okay.
So yeah, the bolt from the hand crossbow sinks in to your chest, Milo, but then on the tail end of it, you see a little ball that then like flashbang explodes as it's like buried into you and like you see stars.
It's really cool.
It's pretty.
PC slot.
Okay, Eric, everything's awful.
You could always try to escape. That is a viable option.
One of them's on the skiff.
You can deal with that. Like
I can't because Hob can't hold on.
I'm just
so I can't that, like barrel roll to toss him into the sky.
That could be all a future right,
so
problem.
With the future is immediate. All right, with the goggles on and getting all of these readouts that the goggles are constantly distracting me with, what is there anything I can just immediately tell about the skiff as it becomes visible, other than it's fast and obviously modified? She's got drones. Does she also have an autopiloted ship?
You don't get the sense that it has like a Tasha in it that can fly it on its own. It looks like this thing is capable of cruise control. It's not automated, but it can keep going without anybody being behind the controls.
Question.
Yeah.
Does that cause it to count as a non-sentient automaton?
I'd allow it.
All right. Then Eris would like to deplete her goggles and hijack their skiff.
Okay.
So the skiff is mine until the end of the encounter.
This is how we make friends.
And what would you like to do?
That's a maneuver. So I'll take some strain to be able to spend a maneuver to command the skiff.
Just flip.
Eris says, "You're really cool, but I'm sorry." And the skiff just dives.
Okay.
So I'm ordering the skiff to take its action and turn and whatever to just dive.
Okay.
She's not actively trying to kill them, but definitely to make them not be here anymore.
Yep. I get it. Okie dokie.
And then for her action.
Yep.
She pulls out the Fletcher and is going to activate its auto fire property and just unload on this Warforged who's beating up her friend.
Okay.
You're probably also really cool, but frack you.
No, not cool.
Adversary 2. Is there and no defenses, so don't need to worry about that.
Okay, so obviously I assume I'm at short range with this thing?
Yes, yeah. So it'd be one red, one purple.
Okay, fascinating.
All right.
Okay, so 4 successes, 2 advantage, and despair.
Indubitably. Pierce 2.
Yeah, so total damage is 13 with right. Pierce 2. With the new model of the Fletcher, we replaced Blast with auto fire. I think so I'm just gonna auto fire. I'm gonna hit him. I'm just gonna cause it to hit him twice.
Okay. So.
So just a burst again. Of flechettes just smash into the Warforged, and so he'll take 13 damage, pierce 2 twice.
Okay. So it is very much like Iron Man 1 when Tony like walks in the Mark 1 and like all the gunfire where a lot of the flechettes are bouncing off, but some of them are burying into the chassis of the Warforged as they turn to face you as you're opening fire on them. But yeah, I mean, it did a not insignificant amount of damage to this individual. Okay. The despair is a thing that has happened.
That is a thing. It has been rolled. Behold the despair.
Kind of fits perfectly. Okay. I'm using the despair. One of these characters has the ability called And Just Like That, where they may spend a despair rolled by an enemy during a combat encounter to immediately leave the encounter. So one of the people on the boat is fine, but they are gone. And I'll let you guess which of your cohorts would have that ability to just be like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore.
Go.
Okay. So that's the despair. And now we're
that is all the things I can do. We're now to Hob's turn.
Okay. I have a...
You can do anything but an action.
Right. So my 2 questions. 1, an incidental is not an action. It's not an incidental action, right? Okay. 2, remind me of how an opponent being prone affects what we can do.
An opponent being prone means you get boosts on melee checks, but setbacks on range checks.
Okay, that's it. Okay.
Yes.
Then here's all I can do. Like, I use my maneuver to stand. Yes. And then I have an incidental called headbutt. And it's okay. The only thing I have that's not an action.
Love it.
or that doesn't require an action. Like, I have a lot of incidentals that are like, when you make a check. So I am going to suffer 2 wounds. And I am going to select the only target I can. And he is now knocked prone and disoriented until the end of the next round.
Love it. So adds a setback to all of his checks.
And that's all I can do, I believe. Wait, actually, let me go ahead and I am going to bodyguard Milo.
Also, okay.
That's a maneuver. Shoot, if that's a maneuver, I...
You can down... Because you can't take an action, you can downgrade what would be your action to a maneuver
okay.
and not
that's
take
what I wasn't sure about, if I could even do that. Okay, great.
Yes.
Then yes. So for my second maneuver, I'm going to take 2 strain to bodyguard Milo. Milo has all difficulty, all checks upgraded. There. I can't talk.
Okay. Cool.
Twice. Upgraded twice. Pardon me.
Splendid.
Yep.
And that is the end of the first round of combat. The enemy skiff is diving. The Warforged is still on your skiff, but full of flechette holes. And on the ground, and we are going to pick it up next time. So, end of episode. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to be part of the conversation surrounding the episode, you can head over to our Discord, the link to which you can find on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/thekeeppantheon. If you want to financially support the shows in any way you're able to do so, you can do so over there or buy some merch at thekeeppantheon.com. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thekeeppantheon, where I make TTRPG content, and Philip is now going to plug a thing.
There's also a channel called The Laughing Tree, where you will see another actual play on YouTube using 5th edition and set in Stormreach, in which Eric is a player. It's called Kyber Shards.
Indubitably. Thank you all so much for listening. I've been your Game Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
We'll see you next time.